Want to say that I'm coming up here because he has been so good to me. Amen. He has absolutely been so good to me. And you know, I hear something and I understand, you know, like they say the spoken word. I've always understood with the spoken word of the Lord, this is the most powerful thing out there. It moves mountains, right? I've always understood that. But to understand the importance of when I say I'm wrong.
Yeah.
The zeal of the hour to say that I'm wrong. Yeah. For me to speak that, it changes everything. They don't just tell us stuff just to say stuff about when they do it. You know, y'all don't just say stuff. It's because it works.
Amen.
And,
amen.
You know, I found that I can say I'm wrong. Yes, I can say that and mean that. And I can then repent and turn around.
Sure.
And you know what? You know what? I'm jumping for Jesus right now. Woo! I'm going to jump for Jesus. You know why? Because he's been so good to me. He has been so good to me, and I'm grateful to be here. And I'm glad to see each and every one of you, and I can't wait. I can't wait to hear his marching orders for today because I need this.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So true. So
think about his love. It's page 42.
I got it. Amen. The zeal of the hours to say I'm wrong.
Oh, yeah.
There's a couple of things I really like to do. I like to get in the water and do swim laps, and I love to play. And I would rather do that than eat. But thank God in this hour, I have a husband to keep me on track. And the seal of the hour is to say I'm wrong. So I'm wrong, honey. Amen. I'm going to, you know, so therefore, I'm not going to waste a lot of time. AJ, come on, let's play the song. Because see what it is. This is a privilege. If this was my last service on the face of the earth, how would you do it? Yes, I'm up here. I'm ready to jump in the deep water right away. Right away, I'm ready to throw those hands in the air because God has been good. So we're going to attempt to, we play, we sing, we raise our hands. Because God has been so good to us, I've got to express it somehow. What does raising your hands really do? Nothing. But, you know, you feel so, in a way, you feel so helpless. He's been so good, and he knew there was nothing you could do except express your love. That's the least you can do, ain't it? Just to express that love back to him, and that's what the spirit of worship is. We don't come to be seen. We just come to drop into that dimension. So we're going to hurry up and get out of the way so somebody else. I'm not going to be greedy. When you get to the table, give me some of this and give me some of that. I won't eat it all. I'll leave you some. Okay. Amen. We're going to play right quick. Amen.
okay, I'm gonna do this without crying. But I'm so, so happy to be here.
Amen.
I'm so glad I listened to his voice to bring me closer to this body.
Yes.
I want to thank everybody that helped me make this move.
Bless you, Mel. Bless you.
It's everybody's prayed, everybody's asked. I got my furniture.
Praise
so
thank you.
One day I'll be able to invite you all out, but I'm just so thankful that put a seat in me and an ear to hear his word. And I believe this truth. I would be remiss if I just didn't say that my sign coming to this church was my pastor, my brother. And I heard something coming out of him that I'd never heard before. And I continue to hear that voice, and it's not just from him anymore, it's from all of us.
Right, man.
And I appreciate that God chose me to hear his voice, because I could be doing anything just like everybody else, but this is the path that he put in front of me. And I'm so glad that I listen to him, and I'm going to follow his path.
Yes,
whatever
Lord,
he has
yes,
for me, I'm for him.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Think About His Love, page 42.
Page 42.
It's Kia G.
Of course.
Rain that's brought us through. You know, we never want to forget the cross. You know, we talk about the cross.
Amen.
It was
amen,
on the
amen.
Cross that he died for us.
Yes. Right.
You know, we're watching a silly little show on TV called The Chosen, you know, and it's full of denominational creeds.
Oh, yeah.
But it shows you how much of a man that Jesus was.
Right.
And how he had the weight of what he had to do on his shoulders.
Right.
And he knew. When he was going places and when he was doing things, he knew what his job was.
Yeah.
And he knew that weight that was on his shoulders. Yeah, yeah. And he knew he had to follow through. But he also knew that his father had him.
Right. Right.
And he and his father were one. Yeah. And he was a man.
Right. Yeah.
And he had, you know, the same walk I have.
Right. Yeah.
Now, he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But I am a son man with that same God in me.
Right.
I have a part of the ocean.
Okay.
You know, and I'm the same. I have the weight of the world on me.
Yeah.
And I know what my job is.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I know who's with me.
Right.
Yeah. And I know who's in me.
Yeah.
And I know who I am. And I'm not a Trinitarian.
No.
Not at all. I fully understand.
Sure, yeah.
I fully understand how I can be a man and how I can be God. And how when I speak, it's God speaking. You know, and I don't know what to say, but I just want to say I praise God. I love God. I love this word. I love the preaching. I love everything. And I just don't want to be silent.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, the song, Think About His Love, I was thinking about the whole story, you know? This whole big plan God has. You know, I'm just a cog in that way.
Amen.
But, you know, I'm still a part of it. And I'm thinking, what's been, what is, and what's to come. You know, look at that, what's to come.
Right.
I'm not dealing with the bottom. You know,
right.
All those horrible
Amen.
Things that are happening in the world, they're not going to happen to us.
Right.
You know, God has
Amen.
Promised me an easy path. You know, you think about Jesus and what he had to do. I got it really easy, you know? And I thank God so much for that.
Amen. That's my wife, in case you don't know.
Yeah.
I love her. And when she sees me get up, she gets nervous. I should have just sat back and let her get done. But it's good to be here this morning. Enjoying everybody's testimony. Enjoyed your testimony, Brother John. You know, one of the things I always think about Jesus, and we've been taught well here, you know, so many people think about Jesus and they think everything he did was just so easy on him. Oh, he's just so perfect and he just did everything just so easily. And they forget he was in that garden so stressed. And I've been stressed in life, but I've never been so stressed that I've sweated blood out of my forehead. That's how hard it was on him.
Right, right.
And yet something in him said, not my will, but thine be done. Thank God he did walk up that hill and fulfill what he was supposed to fulfill. Because without that, we wouldn't even be here this morning doing what we're doing. We wouldn't have anything to look back to. That had to happen before we could even be here. But I was just thinking this morning, actually, I was here early enough, pulled out a book I had with me. It was Works of Faith Express, and I just flipped to a page, and it was where Brother Branham was talking about the three rims of a little bit, how you can be anointed on the first two, but that still's not enough.
Right.
That it's got to go all the way down to that soul.
Because
I thought about that this morning, and it got me excited. I thought, you know, with the flesh rim, you can hear what the preacher preaches naturally.
Sure.
It can go right in that ear. And with that second rim, you can memorize it. You can even have a guilty conscience about it.
Yes.
You can reason about it and think about it. And you can do a lot of good things with it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a lot like those first signs. You can show a lot with that, just that.
Oh, yeah.
But it goes deeper than that.
Amen.
And I'm glad I have something that goes deeper than that.
Amen.
Because what you can't mimic. So you can mimic a lot by just hearing it. And memorizing it and having a guilty conscience about it. You can do a lot of things. Brother Branham said it. He said you can act like Christians and be so ever good at it.
Right.
But it's got to go all the way down to the inside.
Yes.
I thank God that I got an ear that's a little deeper than the natural ear.
Amen.
Yeah, it goes in here, but it goes deeper than that.
Amen.
I got a real new birth.
Amen.
I got a new soul. I got an actual revelation of the Word of God.
Amen.
That became one with me. And then it's with every heartbeat.
Amen.
I don't even have to manufacture that all together. I don't even have to make that happen. I don't have to memorize and say, I got to memorize all this. It just is part of who I am and comes out of me. That Word gets preached to me and it becomes one with me. And every heartbeat I have really is the Word made flesh.
Yes,
I thank God for that understanding. And it's good to be here this morning.
Amen. You know, I was thinking about things too there a little bit as far as your new birth. You know, it's easy as falling off a log if you're ordained to it. You don't even have to stress about it. You know, I see people worry about things coming up in their life. You know, even worrying about a storm this afternoon or something. So, well, don't ruin your whole morning over worrying about this storm that may or may not come, because we know how weathermen are.
Right.
And, you know, and even a new birth is, if you're ordained to it, you can't miss it.
You can't miss it, no.
So there's no sense worrying about it.
Right.
And if you're not ordained to, you can't get it. So ain't no sense you worrying about it either.
Right, right. You can't.
You know,
worry about
you've seen a lot. You know, we've come a long way in this message. And you know, when you first come here, everybody trying to tell you what the new birth was.
Oh, yeah.
You got to see this. You got to come this way. You got to do that. You know. And I was thinking. Yeah. I was thinking. You know, but they want to break that down. They want to so analyze it and so make it. You know, where, you know, you're so confused. Time they're done.
Right.
Yeah. You're ready to deny your new birth, even though you got it.
Yeah.
I was born for years before I knew I had a new birth.
Yeah.
Even in the natural. I was born. I just come out looking, seeing everything.
Yeah, didn't know.
That's what a new birth does.
Yeah, didn't know that.
You know, the breath of life comes to you. Same thing in the spiritual, you know. Breath of life came to me. And that breath of life, you know, I'd rather worry about what it does after you're born.
Yeah.
You won't deny one word.
I won't deny one word.
That spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. And some of these people, I don't care how they break down their new birth and how they say they got it and this, that, and the other. What's it done for you?
Yeah.
Where's it led you?
Yeah, what did
it lead you away from the Word.
Huh?
That's all I need to know.
That's it.
You can analyze it all you want, but you don't have a new birth.
Yeah.
Not if it leads you away from the Word. And I'm so thankful to know that. I'm so thankful to know that it is in His hands.
That's right.
I didn't have one thing that I wasn't looking for. I didn't put the seed there. I didn't put the dirt there. I didn't put the water there. He did it all. He brought it together. I can't even bring it together.
No.
I can't even bring it together for a person. God might use me to help bring that together for a person, but it's God using
God.
Me. It's not me trying to make the conditions right for this seed to be germinated and be born, you know, come into existence. But, you know, I'm thankful that it's simple, and it gets more simple as you go along.
Amen.
And, it wears me out when somebody tries to just go on and on and on.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm,
work.
You know, I'll wait on Brother Moore, but be it known, I'm set there wore out. You know, I'm wore out. Oh, man. I have patience and I have love and this, but, you know, don't just go on and on and on. Don't fret about it.
No.
I hate a fretty spirit. I just hate a fretty spirit. You know, what comes will come and God will see you through that. He's seen you through everything else. After a while, rest, relax.
Right.
Let God have it. He's got it anyway. There was a story told years and years ago. You know, this hitchhiker was going along, had this big, heavy pack on his back, you know, and this guy stopped, felt for him. He said, well, jump up in the back of the truck. You know, and he jumped up there, and he took off. You know, after a while, he still had that pack on his back. And he says, well, you know, he pulled over again and said, why don't you take that pack off, lay it down in the bed of the truck? And he said, oh, no, you've been so good to me. I got in the back of the truck. I didn't want to burn you with my pack, too. And he's got it anyway.
Right.
It's in the truck anyway.
Yeah,
God's got it anyway.
Right.
Let him have it all.
Yeah.
Don't hold anything back.
Amen.
And, I just looking, too, I haven't said anything since Wednesday, so it's built up. But anyway, you know, just thinking about the peace that this brings and human nature. When something excites you, when you love something, it shows.
Right.
Oh, yeah. You know, when you see somebody and they're grinning a little more than normal,
yeah.
You say, hey, what's up?
Yeah, what's going
Something's
on?
Got you excited.
Right.
Something's stirring, you know.
Yeah.
And even to worry about, you know, oh, I got to praise this way. I got to be like this. I got to be like that. It excites you, just be you.
Right.
You know, if you're excited, you're excited.
Just be you.
If you're not so excited today, fine. You know, right. Let somebody else be excited. You know, it's a body. It's not all about you.
Right.
It's all about what he has done.
Amen.
And as long as you recognize that and believe that and you know, and he's revealed that to you, the most important thing, because you can't recognize or believe it yourself anyway. He's got to do that. So I'm just so thankful that, yeah, like John has said before, I can just be me. I can just be me. I don't have to put on anything. I don't impress nobody, you know. When I do good, evil is present. Yep, that's me. And that's you too, if you want to be honest about it.
Right.
You know, it's all there. And we got such a full revelation, full understanding. You know, and when you come to this message, if you're ordained of God, you can see any bit of that. And right there, he burned out that old nature.
Yep.
It's not a certain mystery.
No.
It comes seven thunders all in a row.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing.
Yeah.
See whatever you want to see. The first thing you see, that gives you new birth.
That's it.
It might not be the first thing I saw, but it's the first thing you saw.
Yeah.
I don't have to come your way. Maybe I didn't see that first.
No.
But when it come time, I saw it.
Yeah.
And I agreed with it one time, my last opinion.
Yeah.
And he just revealed himself to me.
Amen.
And I thank God. And then after that, I grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. Then after that, he leads and guides me to all truth.
Yeah.
Then after that, I just rejoice and rejoice and rejoice all the way home.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you all. I came to praise God.
Amen.
You know, Brother Don said something. It opened up. I've wanted to say something since service started. And you know, this morning I'm in my garden. You know, when a gardener starts their garden very early.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, back in January, if you will, you start inside, seeds inside. And I'm out there looking in my garden this morning. I want to harvest. That's my motto. That's my why. I want to harvest. Right. But I was typing out this morning, and my husband's like, "What are you doing? You're always in the garden." I'm tending my garden. You know, I'm trying to nurture this and keep that pest off, and that's what God does for us.
Yes.
He keeps that spirit off, and we know how to say, "I'm sorry," and we know how to say, "I'm wrong." I thank God for that, and I thank God that I looked at my little harvest, my little winter squash, and I said, "That's me over there. That's us." God's got us. He wants a harvest. It's harvest time. And I was like, Lord, thank you that I can see something. And Brother Don said, it ain't all about you. And it is not. It's about the body. It's about his word. And I thank God that I have a receiver. I want to tell you all that God is good. You know it. But for me, I thank God that God has shown me he's real. He's shown me that he's a way maker. He's shown me that broken hearts can be healed. He's shown me that broken wounds can be healed.
Yes.
On the skin, if you will. And I thank God that I have something in me that when my children are hurting, I have a heart for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I thank God for a sound mind.
Amen.
This world is crazy. I see so much going on. At least, you know, when you said that this morning, it said, you know, we pray for a hedge of protection around our family. And I know that I won't go through some things because of who I am. But I feel for the body. You know, I have a for the world. I feel for them, like, oh, man, this is going to be a rough ride, y'all. But, you know, Ty, you know, we as the body, we see it. And we have a spirit for humanity. I see them suffering sometimes. Like, Lord, what do you do when you see people on the side of the road with signs and stuff? That one, on one side, I'm like, get up. Like, I'll help you the first time. You know, I did. You know, you do this, you do that. And then you roll down to when you say, you need to get a job. Are there not organizations that can help you? I've helped you once. I helped you twice, but you're still here. What the heck? But it's okay. Everyone has their own way and their own path. But it does wear you out sometimes in the natural. But I thank God for that. I have somewhere where I can be myself. Brother Moore, thank you. Thank you, body.
Thank you.
You know, this is my tribe.
Amen.
And he abides. It's page 139 and only believe.
Page 139, only believe.
We'll get Pastor Moore up.
Amen.
Rejoicing night and day.
with me everywhere, and he knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free. For the Spirit has control, and Jesus satisfies my soul. Now the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides. Yes, he abides. Oh, hallelujah. He abides in me. Oh, I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way. For the Comforter abides in me. Oh, yes, he abides. Yes, he abides. Oh, hallelujah. He abides in me. Oh, I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way. For the Comforter abides in me. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful this morning to come to your house and to know that you abide not just with us, but you abide in us. And we're thankful for that. We're so grateful for this opportunity to be gathered here together this morning around your word. Oh, these people that love you so much, they come to hear from you now. Lord, move every hindrance aside. Bind every spirit of unbelief that might try to hinder your word. And move freely through this building today. Speak to our hearts and watch over us and break the word down to us. Lord, I can open a book, I can read the letter, but Lord, you've got to reveal the word. Ask you, Lord, to touch those that are sick, Lord, those that need a touch from you. Brother Trevor, different Donna, different ones that need a touch. We still remember Don and John. And Father, we've come so far by faith, by believing in your word and trusting in you. But Lord, we need another touch. Each day requires a new touch. As we open the word here, Lord, just come here and speak this morning. Have your way with us today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And Sister Early asked us to remember her brother. He's been sick and needs a touch from God. And remember the Earlys, because, you know, they're not as young as they used to be. She'd get me if she hear me say that, but she probably is hearing me say that. Kind of think of it. We're all not as young as we used to be. So just pray for the Earlys. They'd like to come and visit sometime, and I told them, just let me know when. We'll make sure they get here. We'll make sure they're housed and fed. We'll take care of them. But they've got things they're going through right now, so they can't get away. But just remember them in your prayers. Now, we've got a lot of things going on. And so I talked to Brother Fred Mullins yesterday because we were trying to figure out plans about going to South Carolina. And I just feel like it was supposed to be in October. So I called Brother Fred last night, or yesterday evening, and he told me, he said, October is when I usually have my meeting. And I said, oh, really? He said, we haven't had it in 2 years. I said, in October, we're coming down. And so he usually has speakers come in, and maybe I'll preach one service, and he'll have some people, but it'll be a good time. We're shooting for the weekend on the 15th of October. Just to start making plans and dates and getting time off work. I realized, last time we went down to Carolina on the bus, I must have really been young because I don't think I helped out with the plans at all. Not a bit. Just got on a bus and went. But now I'm thinking we got to give people notice. We got to get hotels. We got to get rented vehicles. We got things to do. And I'm thinking, man, this is work. So I'm trying to give you all plenty of notice of, and what we'll do as we start making these plans, and if you feel like you want to go, we'll eventually put a sign-up sheet in the back, because we're probably going to try to rent some vans or something. Yes, John? I'm thinking we would leave here early, like 4 or 5 o'clock Saturday morning, because it's like an 11-hour drive. And then we'd get down there for Saturday evening service, Sunday morning service, and then drive back on Monday. So the day you'll have to get off work. Yeah, Monday will be a travel day. And early Saturday morning will be a travel day. And I'm still working out the details. I was trying to figure out whether to go Friday through Sunday, Saturday through Monday, and I think that best probably would be have Monday the travel day. But we're still working the details out. But I'll let y'all know as I know. So you all can start making plans and whatever you need to do. As we get more information, we'll, of course, keep you posted on what's going on. So I'm excited about that. Amen. Don't forget, in October, I think it's October, at some point, Brother June Cordelio is supposed to be coming to America, coming to town. So I thought, well, if he's here, I'll just snatch him up and take him with me. So there's a lot of planning things are going on, so I try to keep you all informed as I find out more information. It's good to be here today and have you all here. And I'm loving what God's doing. And I forget, you know, we hadn't been around message people very much. And I forgot about all their politics. I forgot about it till you started getting mixed with them. And they're like, man, y'all still doing that? I'm not a politician. I never have. I told my boss when I was getting ready to be a manager of a department or something. She said, Nate, in order for you to get anywhere in life, you're going to have to get in play politics. I said, then I'll never go anywhere, because I'm not going to play politics. I don't play it in the office. I don't play it in the church. I don't play it in the word. I just don't play. But I forgot about it. Now that I'm talking to ministers and we got people coming in and we're going out, I'm like, oh my goodness, this message is a mess. So, you know, I'm not afraid of the message. They are who they are. I never forget the Brother Childress said they had their day. I don't forget things. So I'm not trying to push myself into churches. I want to fellowship with anybody. If you got something that's going to help the body, I want you to help the body. But I want you to come right. I don't want you to just come and play games. Come. I forgot about sheep stealing. I forgot about church taking over. And, you know, all that stuff they do in the message to come in and take your people. It's like, oh, well, that's right. I forgot about all that. It's been too long. I just forgot they play those games in the message. And I'm just not into that. I figured if my people want to go with you, go. I'll go fishing. I'm not trying to hold on to y'all. I'm not trying to keep a church. I'm not trying to keep certain preachers in and keep certain preachers out. You got some preachers talk about the other preachers and just like, oh, Lord, have mercy. But that's okay. That's them. That ain't us. I said, I'm not a good message person. I just believe in the word. If you got some more, because a lot of times people determine whether you will even allow a preacher to preach because of his life. And I ain't worried about his life. That's between him and God. If you get up there and say Jesus saves, that's all I want to hear. You know, and it's like, I'll let you come with your Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, in message, out message, uptown, downtown, black, white, fat, short, tall. It doesn't matter. Just give me the word. That's what I'm after. That's what I'm here for. As long as you bring the word, you're all right. You bring something that's not the word, then you know what? You're going to get something that you're not going to want. Because you gotta back what you believe by the message. I mean, everything you bring has got to come out of the message. I don't want your theology. I don't want your thinking. I don't want your ideas. And you know what? I'll be polite, but then it's like, I'm not interested in that. And that's what Fred told me. He didn't tell me this yesterday, but we've talked before. He said, Nate, I got tired of all these message people and all the games they play in the church hopping, and, you know, they get mad at you, and then they move to another message church. They get mad at that pastor, they move to another message church. They get mad at that pastor, they move to another. Somewhere along the line, God's got to settle you down. Because either God sent, because their own testimony tells on them. They say God sent me there, and then when they get mad, they leave. It's like, well, I thought God told you to go there. You know, if God tells you something, he'd never change his mind about his word. And Brother Branham said, you stay with your pastor. He's ordained to see you through. He's ordained. I'm ordained to do that. You say, well, I'm going to see who's got the better message going. I'll see who's a better preacher. I told y'all I didn't want to be pastor. I didn't even want to be a preacher. I didn't even want to be a Christian. If you really want to go back, I don't want to be none of it. So you stumping out and telling me you'll never support me and all that, that ain't doing me nothing but a favor. I'm not a good preacher, I guess, I know. But I am what I am. You know, I don't try to put on airs. I don't try to put on, you know, I just who I am. And if it offends you, thank God. But it's good. So we got things to do. And as we're going through the different, as we get out and we meet and preachers come in and it's like, oh, Lord, I forget this stuff. Okay. Well, amen anyhow. Come in and preach. And I ain't worried about a lot of the stuff everybody else in the message is. Because I look at it like this. Ain't none of us good. Oh, you might be better than me, but you're just as rotten as I am. My banana might be rotten on the right side, but yours is rotten on the left. So it's like none of us are great. None of us are good. And so I'm not trying to affiliate with anybody. I'm really not. I'm not trying to buddy-buddy with anybody. Just God's got this thing, and whatever he wants, he will bring them in, and he will take them out as he sees fit. He adds to the body as he sees fit. So it's good. But it's good. I'm thankful for what we have. I really am. We're not stressing over this. We're not trying to make this thing work. We're not forcing anything. I'm just enjoying the ride. I'm in the car. I'm not on the bumper. I'm in the car. I ain't worried about none of that stuff. So let them worry about it. So it's good to be able to come. And so to get started today, I want to go over to the book of Revelations, chapter 21. Got a scripture I want to read here. And it's good to be able to do things together. I know Jeremiah sort of makes plans for us each month and what he's doing and all that. I don't know what he's got planned coming up, but they didn't make no announcements, so I guess ain't nothing. So when they figure it out, we'll let us know. But I like getting together with you all because y'all understand me. And I understand y'all. And it's a family. It's not just a bunch of people coming together. It's a family, so I appreciate it. So Revelations chapter 21, starting at verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, no more, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Amen. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcome shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. I want to title the message this morning, Alpha and Omega. Now, in reading this, this is after it's all done. We're sort of jumping down the line here. We're getting to where after the Battle of Armageddon, after the world was wiped off, after the Battle of Gog and Magog, after the Great White Throne Judgment, after all that, here comes New Jerusalem down. And this is the time when God's going to take away everything that's not of like him. Any temporal thought of God will be done away with. When that holy fire comes down, because the first burning, according to Malachi chapter 3 and chapter 4, the first burning comes and it takes you down to the stubble. It burns the world off. That's done by man. He does it himself. But the second burning, that comes after the great white throne judgment, when God himself becomes a consuming fire and he consumes every soul that's not of him. You got to remember, the burning that they're going to get is the same burning that you got. It's not a different burning. The annihilation of your old soul is going to annihilate their old soul. Same annihilation. And people say, well, they're going to burn and burn and burn in the lake of fire for eternity. That's impossible. If that were the case, they'd already be burning. It's eternity. So that's not the case. You don't burn eternally. There is a beginning and there is an ending to their existence. So when that happens, God's going to wipe all this face of the earth off, and he's going to get rid of every old soul that's not like him. Every one of them, including the devil. He's going to get rid of the devil, his angels, all the old souls, every temporary thought, because God's going to bring down the new Jerusalem out of heaven. Now that out of heaven is coming down, that's going to be eternal. That's an eternal city. You say, what makes it eternal? It makes it eternal because it comes out of the mind of God. It's an eternal thought of God. So that city's going to be forever. Everlasting. Brother Branham said, whenever you use the term everlasting, when it's applied to God, it's eternal. If God gives you everlasting life, it's eternal. See, everlasting for the world, it's just for a period of time, a space of time. But when you're talking about eternity, you're talking about God's own life. There's only one form of eternal life. See, this message is not that hard. There's only one form of eternal life. If you have eternal life today, it's because you always had eternal life. You can't get eternal life today. As much as I preach today, you cannot get eternal life. If you get eternal life at all, it's because you got it before the foundation of the world. When God put your name on the Lamb's Book of Life, it's always been a part of you. It's always been you. You just didn't know it. I love talking about eternal life because it shows you how much we are God. Because when you realize you are God, when you realize you're eternal, in order to be eternal, you have to be God. Amen. People get upset when we say we're eternal or when we say we're God, but I'm sorry, do you have eternal life or not? Amen. See, what happens with eternal life, it's in you from your natural birth. It's always been a part of you. It just was dormant. That's right. Like a seed. The life doesn't get put in the seed when it gets in the environment to cause it to grow. The life is already in the seed. Right. An apple seed has every apple it will ever produce. Right. In the seed. Right. Every apple. You say all these big apples come out of that one little seed? Yes, they're all in there. If you have eternal life today, you already had a seed of God in you. You were ordained to be here. You were ordained to manifest. That's why it didn't matter whether we fell in the garden or not. The fall in the garden did not start this thing for you and me. Where were you, Job?
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Before the stars, before everything else, when the sons of God, who is that? Us.
Amen.
Shouted for joy.
Right.
We were in his mind, already a part of God,
right.
Planned by God to come.
Right.
Just as eternal as God himself. So when God says he's going to impart to us eternal life, the gift of God is eternal life. That's his real gift. People want to speak in tongues. They want to do prophecy. They want to do all these other things. You better really want the real gift. Because you can do all those other things and not have the real gift. But if you ever get eternal life dwelling in you, it's because it was always a part of you. Why do you seek after God? What draws you to the house of God? What makes you want to be a part of God? That's the life of God that's in you, pulling you to the Word.
Amen.
Amen.
So that's how that works. But he told us, he said, I'm Alpha. And I'm Omega. And I said, now we need to really look at Alpha and Omega. Because there's a truth to that. There's some things that we need to dig out of there. And Brother Branham said over here in the masterpiece, he said, the Alpha and Omega is the same.
Right.
He said, I'm Alpha and Omega. He never said anything in between.
Right.
I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Yes, sir. The first ministry and the last ministry,
amen.
It's the same.
Right.
The first message and the second, the last message is the same. I'm Alpha and Omega. There'll be a day that won't be called day nor night, but in evening time it shall be light. See, Alpha and Omega is become the first and the last. Oh, my brethren, we could stay on that we could stay hours on that. I know that's right. Alpha and Omega are the same thing. The first day of the week and the last day of the week. When you get to the eighth day,
right.
It's the same day.
Right.
You're talking about God's day.
Yes.
You're talking about eternity. Whenever you hear the Bible talk about the eighth day, you're talking about eternity.
Right.
And when you're talking about the eighth day, you're talking about God's day. Now, I looked up Alpha and Omega because, you know, I'm not educated. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet.
Right.
Omega is the last.
Yes.
Yes.
That's why I said I'm the first and the last.
Right.
That's why I said I'm Alpha and Omega. He's everything. So if you get to the first day, if you get to 8 days, you're back on the first day again.
Amen.
This is the first day of the week.
Yes.
But this is also the eighth day of last week.
Right.
See, I like it simple.
Right.
This is the eighth day and the first day.
Okay.
And when you're talking about those 2 days, Alpha and Omega, you're not talking about the time in between at all. And there's a reason that Brother Branham said that he wasn't talking about the in-between. Because when you're talking about the seven church ages, you got 7 days. But we're not talking about the seven-day week. We're talking about the eighth day. We're talking about the first day. Now, the first day was when the Word first came. It was Alpha. This was not Alpha. Paul came at the end of Alpha. That's why people don't understand about us saying that Paul had it all, but we have more than what Paul had. They don't get that because what they don't understand is what Paul had was Alpha. And what Paul got was from the Alpha. Because Paul got it from Jesus. Jesus was the Alpha. He was the first. He was the everlasting God. He was Emmanuel. He was the prophet. He was everything. See, when you got Alpha on the scene, you got everything on the scene. It's not partial word, not partial this and partial that and keeping the sevens and keeping the days and trying to do things. When you got Alpha on the scene, you got the Word of God made flesh right before you. The fullness of God dwelt bodily in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's why Jesus wasn't worried about the denominations. He wasn't worried about the Sadducees. He wasn't worried about the Herodians and the Pharisees. He didn't care about their dogmas and the doctrines. He was the Word made flesh. He was the perfect interpretation of the Word.
Amen.
Amen. When you got Alpha on the scene, you had all that God was poured into him.
Right. Right.
There was no other God.
No,
there was no other thing left outside of him.
Amen.
All that God was, he poured into Alpha.
Amen.
Amen.
And when he walked the earth, he didn't walk trying to figure it out. He knew what it was.
Amen.
He didn't walk around here trying to figure out who's the best or who's God or who's right or who's not right. He said, they're all wrong. When Alpha stepped on the scene, he was the only man on the face of the earth who was right. He didn't join himself to the Sadducees. He didn't join himself to the Pharisees. He didn't join himself to the Herodians. He didn't try to make friends with Pilate. He didn't try to get up there and get a name for himself. He knew who he was. And when you know who you are, you don't care what anybody else thinks. Jesus wasn't backseat driving, trying to figure out where am I going. He knew where he was going.
Amen.
He had all the answers.
Yes.
People got mad because he had all the answers.
Right.
Jesus got in trouble for two things. One, saying who he was, and the second was telling who they were.
Right.
When you had Alpha on the scene, you had somebody on the scene who knew every man.
Right.
Every man they met.
Right.
He didn't live in fear.
No.
He didn't live in defeat.
No.
He didn't live in unbelief. He had perfect faith.
Yes.
He walked around knowing who he was. Mary and him didn't know who he was, but he knew who he was. Mary said, oh, if you had been here, my brother Lazarus wouldn't have died. Jesus said, what are you talking about, Mary?
Yeah.
What do you mean if I had been here? I am here.
Yeah.
And I am the resurrection and the life.
Yeah.
I don't care how long he's been dead. I stayed out long enough for his body to rot.
Come on.
To show you not only can I bring him back, so that they can't say his heart just started again. I waited 4 days till corruption set in. I wanted to make sure you knew who I am. I wanted to make sure the devil knows. The devil knows that I am God. That I am the resurrection and life. When Alpha was on the scene, he knew exactly who he was.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Right.
Now, when you got to the church ages, they didn't all together know. They messed things up. John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word.
Right.
The Word was with God. And the Word was God. That was Alpha.
That's right.
How can you have God on the scene and not know what the Word is?
Amen.
How can you have God on the scene and not know where you're at?
Amen.
How can you have God on the scene? And Jesus didn't stutter.
No.
He confounded them in the temple at the age of 12.
He did.
Right.
Mary got on him about being in the temple and he said, I must be about my Father's business. He knew who he was.
Yes,
he didn't take a backseat to no man. He knew he only had a few years to get the job done. He picked his 12 disciples, and one of them was a devil, but he chose him on purpose.
Right.
See, when you had Alpha on the scene, sometimes you mess with the devil. He wasn't afraid of the devil. He didn't mind the devil coming around. He watched him while he was there.
Yes.
He gave him a job. Let's send him out with the other 11 to pray for the sick.
Yes.
Signs and wonders. Judas had him.
Yes, he did.
He was an anointed man of God.
Right.
But he was a devil.
Right.
Amen.
And you think that snuck up on Jesus? He knew it. He knew the whole time because he was Alpha. He was the first. He knew every man he met. Talk to him 2 minutes. He knows where he's at. I'm talking about Alpha, because remember, Alpha and Omega are the same. I'm talking about Jesus, but I'll get to you. He was the Word.
Yes.
And the Word was made flesh, verse 14.
Yes.
And dwelt among us. The Word was living in skin.
Yes.
In Alpha.
Yeah.
In Jesus.
Right.
If you wanted to hear the Word, you had to find Jesus. You know why you couldn't go to the temple? Because the temples were full of creeds and dogmas.
Right. Right.
You couldn't even find God in the temple.
Right.
You knew the temple was there. Yet they were holy men. They weren't bad livers. They were good men. They were church going.
Right.
Their family was clean. They had clean lives.
Yes.
But didn't know God.
Right.
That's what I said. I don't worry about your life. People are worried about your life. They say, well, you better watch your pulpit and make sure your pulpit's clean. I don't have to make sure my pulpit's clean. I ain't watching that man. I'm watching the Word.
Right.
If he gets off the Word, I'll know who he is.
Oh, yeah.
And even if he gets off the word, that doesn't make him a devil. It just means he needs correction. That's what Jesus did. He didn't knock Nicodemus out. He said, Nicodemus, I appreciate you, brother, but you got it wrong. You being one of the leaders, a churchgoer, and you don't know this? You don't know about the new birth? You don't know about being born again? And you're leading the rest of the people? The blind leading the blind, and your whole church is going in a ditch because you don't know what the truth is. When Alf was on the scene, he knew exactly what he was doing. He was the Word of God veiled in human skin. People don't like that. Oh, they don't mind a God way up here somewhere. They don't mind a God up in the heavens. They don't mind a God behind the clouds. They can keep their dogmas. But when the Word is made flesh and standing right in front of you, when it's telling you who you are, it's telling you what nature you have, it's telling you of your unbelief, when the Word of God is there discerning you, you can't get away from that. And people don't want that. They don't want to be discerned. They don't want God to tell them who they are. But Alpha knew who they were. Called them serpents. He told them, he said, you are of your father, the devil. And if this is your father, you're going to do. He was a liar from the beginning. And abode not in the truth. People don't want truth. Oh, they say they do. They talk a good line. Sadducees talked a good line. But they were full of tradition. See, when you're full of traditions, you are blocked from the truth. The only way for those Sadducees to get to the truth was to lay their tradition down and to follow the word. And they weren't going to find the word in the temple. They were going to find the word walking the shores of Galilee. They were going to find the word veiled in human skin. He was walking with them. He was talking with them. He was eating with them. Amen. He did all these things. And while they're in the temple holding on to their traditions and their creeds, Jesus was, the Alpha, was walking right amongst them. And because of their tradition, they couldn't even see it was God. Jesus told them, because of your traditions, you make the word of God, me, of non-effect. I can't even help you, Jesus said, because of your traditions, because of the lies that have been taught to you by your elders. People don't go to church to be worse. They go to church to be better. They go to church to get help. They go to church, and there's more people in church now than there's ever been. There's more churchy people, religious people around than there's ever been. And because they have religion, the Son of Man cannot even talk to them because they've got traditions on everything. You tell them there's not a Trinity Godhead, they'll tell you there's something wrong with you. Matter of fact, the church world is in such a condition now that almost if you don't believe there's a Trinity, you're a cult. That's the hour we're living in. The tradition had gotten to such a bad condition. But Jesus was the Word of God made flesh walking amongst us. And if you wanted to hear from God, if, you know, everybody always say, oh, if I was there in Jesus' day, what you would do? Jesus was the Word of God made flesh. Some people didn't go to Jerusalem to see him. Some people didn't go. Look at all those people who were at the Pool of Siloam waiting, because the tradition was that when the angel of the Lord came down and troubled the water, the first one in it got their healing. So they would pack the place because of what they've always done. See, that's our problem. It's always been this way.
Right.
See, that's what we say. It's always been this way. Well, that's the problem.
Right.
Because when it's always this way, you've got manufactured items going on. You've got some man's tradition, some man's idea who is directing you. When every year they went to that pool, every year the water got troubled, every year one person got healed. But then Jesus came. The Alpha came. He stepped on the scene. The Word of God made flesh, walking amongst them. Do you realize how many people could have got healed? Everybody in that place could have got healed that day.
Yeah.
He could have blew and healed every person in that place. But because of their tradition, the word was walking right amongst them. And they didn't recognize him. All it was a man in a flowing robe, a beard, 12 people following him. Here he is walking amongst them. And because their eyes was on the pool, because of their tradition, they didn't even look up to see that it was the Word of God made flesh standing right next to them.
Oh my goodness.
Jesus went up to one person who had a seed in him.
Yes.
One in a million.
Right.
Laying there on his bed.
Amen.
Well, Word made flesh, the Alpha, walked up to him. Said, hey,
come on.
You a long ways from that pool.
What
he said, I can't walk, man. They said, well, he said, I don't have anybody up that could take me. And Jesus looked at the pool, and he looked at that man, and he looked at that million people standing there, and saw, if the water got troubled, buddy, you're never going to make it. Up to, there is no way you're going to get your healing that way. The odds are against you. He said, I tell you what. What if I told you who I was? What if I told you that you don't need to go to that pool anymore? And probably people standing around there listening to him said, oh, there goes one of those. There's that. Oh, that cult leader. What if I told you that you don't need to go to that water? But we've always gone to the water. See what your tradition does? First thing that happens, your tradition kicks in. We've always done it this way. We've always went to the troubled water. And we always got our healing the first one in there. What if I told you, here is Alpha. What if I told you, forget the water. Forget the troubled water. Do you realize that's blasphemy? Forget about the water. Forget about the troubling of the water. What if I told you right now, if I were to tell you to take up your bed and just walk and go home, that you can have your healing right now? Do you realize how odd that was?
Right.
Do you realize what this man had to surf through in his mind?
Right.
What he had to do? He had to lay down the law. He had to lay down his thinking. He had to lay down his tradition. See, Jesus was doing this all the time. He had to lay all of his thinking down in order for him to receive the word of the hour.
Amen.
And he said, you know what? I ain't getting nowhere going to that pool. And it is the Sabbath day. I ain't doing nothing else. But I know I'm not supposed to lift up this bed. It's the Sabbath. You know what's good? Do you know what the crowd is going to say if they see me carrying my bed on the Sabbath? You get stoned for that. But he laid it all down. He laid down the law. He laid down his traditions. He laid down everything. And he said, you know what? I'm going to do as you said. So he took his first left foot off that bed.
Yeah.
Took his right foot off that bed.
Yes,
pushed himself up, fold that cot up, put it over his shoulder, said, whoa.
Oh.
See, that's what happened when he ran across the Alpha. When he laid his thinking down. The woman at the well. She ran across Alpha.
Right.
See, in order for you to get what God has for you, you got to lay down your thinking.
Amen.
You can't think like you used to. You can't hold on to what science says. You can't hold on to what the doctor says. You can't hold on to what society says. You got to lay it all down and despite it all say, by his stripes I'm healed.
Amen.
Because his word says so.
Right.
Woman at the well come up there and Jesus come and start talking to her. Got her attention. Discerned her. Told her you had six, the one you live with, and you didn't even marry him. She said, I know this is matching the word. When the Messiah comes, he's going to do these things. He said, I'm he. You give me water to drink, and I'll give you water where you'll never thirst again. In order for her to do that, do you realize the tradition she had to lay down? She was not supposed to be talking to men at all, let alone a Jew. Alone at the well. She was breaking all the traditions to get a hold of Alpha. And when she heard his words, she said, I perceive, I recognize, I understand, I got a revelation that you're a prophet. And she got what she needed. That was Alpha. He had a job to do. Somebody said this morning, Jesus went to Calvary, had a job to do. Alpha had a job to do. He knew his job.
Amen.
He was outside of all tradition, outside of all denomination. He was outside of everything. And when he went and paid his price, he did exactly what he was ordained to do as Alpha. Now you say, well, he was the Word made flesh. How in the world would the Word made flesh get killed like that? Why would God let that happen? Because he had needs that one man should die for a nation. He had to die. That was his job, his Alpha. Because remember, Jesus said over here, I got it. You know, he needed, he didn't want to be alone. So over here in Matthew 16, see, when Jesus died, he put that seed in the ground. Just like Belinda's talking about her garden. Just like Steve does his corn. He don't put whole ears of corn in the ground. He said, well, if I'm going to get this, I need to plant this. If I'm going to get this ear, I'm going to plant this ear. No. He didn't need to plant the whole ear. All he needed was one seed. And if that seed has life in it, as Alpha did, when he went in the ground, he was going to bring forth much fruit. He was not going to be alone. But Alpha had to die. There was a whole reason behind that. Church where I don't even have a clue. They don't know about redemption. Not really. They talk about it, but they don't understand that Jesus had to sit on the throne for seven ages due to our ignorance. There was going to be a great falling away. That falling away was that corn seed going into the ground. Yeah. This seven church age right here. The corn didn't go into the ground in Ephesus. The corn went into the ground in Alpha.
Right.
See, this is Alpha. Uh-huh. Over here, at the end of all this, it's Omega.
Right.
After the seventh age is finished.
Right.
And it is. So Alpha had to go into the ground because he had to do intercession for this whole seven-age period. That's why Brother Branham said he said he's Alpha and Omega, but not in between. He is beginning, Jesus Christ. He is the end, Jesus Christ. If it's Jesus Christ in Omega or in Alpha, it has to be Jesus Christ in Omega. If he's the same. But during that period when the seed went into the ground, it had to go in. And what took the seed in? Denominational creeds and traditions. 325 AD. Paul was telling us they're coming in. They're going to, grievous wolves, as Don just said, it's going to come in. They came in, and what did they start eating at? They ate at the revelation, at the word of God.
Amen.
And we got a form of godliness.
Right.
Just like they did in the Old Testament.
Right.
The Old Testament got to a point, they had a form of godliness. And when Jesus stepped on the scene and he walked in the temple, they were buying and selling and doing all these things.
Right.
He turned the tables over because he said, look at you. You've taken the house of God and made it a den of thieves. Do you realize the church world is now full of den of thieves?
Amen.
It's big business. Big business. Money taking, money eating, money, money, money. They're taking money. They're doing all these things. It's big business. It was big business when Alpha was here. But then God had a way that he was going to work on his body. Because he had to build a body before he could bring Omega on the scene. And building his body, he did it one way. And that's Matthew chapter 16. And we know it. We read it a lot. Matthew 16. And we're going to start with verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist." Wrong. "Some Elias." Wrong. "And others, Jeremiah." Wrong. "Or one of the prophets." See, they didn't know. The church world didn't know Alpha. They didn't have a clue. But Jesus knew there was a way that he was going to reveal himself, and the church world would not receive it. He said unto them, "But whom do you say that I am?" See, it becomes an individual affair. You don't join, and God is not going to rapture the Gentile church as a group. He's rapturing you as an individual. God deals with the Gentiles as an individual. That's why nobody can tell you about what God's done for you but you. Because God ain't dealing with us as groups. He deals with the Gentiles as an individual. He will give you the new birth one by one by one by one. And when God reveals to you who he is, you'll know it. Nobody else will know it. Oh, they can assume. Oh, they can guess. Oh, they can hope and they can pray. But you know. You know what happened to you. You don't even know how to explain what happened to you. You don't know what to. You can't tell me how the new birth works. But you know it works. You know it is. And here Jesus was. He asked him, he said, "Who do they say I am?" They said, they don't know. They got all mixed up. But he said, "Let me ask you as an individual. And let me ask you this morning as an individual, who do you say that he is?" You got to know who he is. You can't say he's the Christ because I say he's the Christ. You can't say he's the Christ because your mom or your daddy or your husband or your wife says he's Christ. You kids can't get in on your parents' coattail. You got to know this thing for yourself. There's only one way that God's going to bring you into his kingdom is by revelation. Not out of your goodness, not out of your good works, not out of your holiness, not out of your clean living, not out of all the things you drop and lay down. You must be born again by the word of God. Amen. It's a personal revelation to you. When God's dealing with you, he's not dealing with your family. When God's dealing with you, he's not dealing with your spouse. When God's dealing with you, he's not dealing with the preachers and us. He's dealing with you. Preachers may not have it. Preachers don't always have it. But if God is in you, he recognizes his word. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto you." You can't get this by me. You're not getting this because I'm preaching. You're not getting it because you hear me. You're not getting it because you're in this church. You're not getting it because you're associated with Fairborn Community Tabernacle. Flesh and blood can't give this to you. You won't even get it from me. I cannot give you what you need. It's a personal relationship between you and God. Amen. If God doesn't give it to you, you can't get it. You say, "I want the Holy Ghost." I'm sorry. If he doesn't give it to you, I can't. That's why I don't get mad at people who don't have it. They can't get it just as much as you can't lose it. Amen. You don't control the revelation. No. You go to control what you know and what you don't know. You don't control what God's doing. God does it because he wants to do it. If you're sitting next to somebody and you're picking it up and they're not, that's too bad for them. I can't preach it in good enough terms to give you a new birth. I couldn't threaten you enough to give you a new birth. You can't study this enough to get a new birth. You must be born again, and it's got to be preached to you by the word of God and revealed to you by God. Just because it's preached don't mean it's revealed. A lot of people hear the sounds. When Jesus was standing there, the Alpha, the thunder sounded. A lot of people heard the thunder, but they didn't know what it meant. But there was some standing there. When it thundered, they heard the thunder and understood exactly that it was God. If God doesn't thunder to you, you can't get it. If God doesn't reveal it to you, you can't get it. I don't care how much you smile at me. I don't care how much you try to pat me on the back. I don't care how friendly you are. If the Holy Ghost don't deal with you, you can't be dealt with. Amen. I might want you to go to heaven, but you can't unless God gives you that ability. I wish that all men would be saved, but I know better. I wish that everybody here would receive it, but I know better. I wish that everybody would surrender, but I know better. You got to lay down your thinking. You got to lay down your ideas. You got to lay down your church tradition. What? You got to lay down everything you've ever been taught. Give it all up. When I found out that I had false doctrine, I threw it all out. I said, just start over, Lord. Just erase the whole board. Put on there what you want. Take off everything. I didn't even know. I thought I had the Godhead right, but I didn't. I believed in one God, but didn't know how it worked. I was Jesus only, but didn't know that was wrong. I was apostolic, but didn't know how it worked. I'm apostolic, but I'm apostolic by experience. What happened to them happened to me. The God that revealed himself to them revealed himself to me. I understand now because of who I am. Do you realize if you did not come to God, God will never give you the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
Oh, it's so much different than what we've been taught. Jesus said all that. See, Alpha had the same problem we've got. He said all that the Father hath given me will come to me. Every person that's ordained for me to quicken in this life will come to me. And I won't lose one. Just like he said, I won't lose one. Alpha wasn't afraid of losing people. He wasn't afraid of preaching the truth. He wasn't afraid of standing up.
Amen.
When he lost the 70, he said, you got to eat of my flesh or drink of my blood or God is not even in you.
Amen.
He looked at his 77 and said, you got hard things. We don't believe a word you're saying. He said, get out of here.
Amen.
Looked at his last 12, said, you want to go with them? He wasn't trying to hold on to his church people. If you got a revelation, you'll know where you're at.
Yeah.
You got a revelation, I don't have to worry about you. I don't have to wonder if your life's going to be worthy of the gospel. Yes, it will be worthy of the gospel. Because the gospel will be a part of your life. It will change you. It will make you. It will convert you. It'll save you. It'll reveal things to you. It'll take sickness off. It'll put things on you that you don't even want. But you're going to suffer many things for his name's sake. Flesh and blood doesn't reveal this revelation.
Nope.
Oh, you might hear me this morning, but unless God's walking these aisles, unless God's coming to your seat, unless God's whispering in your ear, unless he's talking personally to you, all you hear is me up here and you don't even know why I'm excited. But if the Holy Ghost ever hits you just right, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. Oh, you might not even be able to explain it. You might not be able to tie it all together. You might not even be able to run the scriptures. You might not be able to tie the quotes. You might not even know anything else. But one thing I know is I was blind, but now I see. I don't know how he healed me. I don't know what mechanical things he had to fix. But all I know is I see what I see. I know what I know. I am who I am. And that's only by the grace of God.
Amen.
Oh, flesh and blood doesn't reveal this thing. You don't get it because of your smartness. Oh, I watch them come to this message and I see them get their notebooks and I get them, see them try to take the notes because they're going to go home and study this thing out. You can't even study this thing at home. If you aren't part of the fivefold ministry, you'll never be able to figure this out. It takes the preaching of the word of God in order for you to receive it. It comes by preaching. It doesn't even come by teaching. It comes by preaching. Brother Branham said, God didn't say go teach. He said go preach the word. Oh, teachers are fine. They'll break things down. They'll make it known. But the teachers need a preacher. I ain't seen one teacher that don't need a preacher.
Amen.
Oh, teaching's good. You get educated, get smart, you know a lot. But I don't see a teacher that don't need a pastor. He's got to be under pastor. I've never seen the prophet without a pastor. The prophet had a pastor. The teacher needs a pastor. The evangelist needs a pastor. Because it comes by the preaching of the word. There's no other way. When you're out here on your own, and you're teaching on your own, and you don't have a pastor, I don't know where you're getting it from. You're doing a bunch of studying, but that studying, all it's going to do is make you mad. You need a preacher to rightly divide it. Oh, I've had teachers sitting here before, and we always had to keep them on the word because they study themselves crazy. And if they don't have a pastor to keep it in the middle of the road, they'll go off. I've never seen the prophet say a teacher's ordained to lead you through. Because he's not. Needs a pastor. That's why I always say I get nervous when people try to put teachers. I told them down in the church. I told them, I won't say the name of church. I just say church. I told them, they were like, ah, he's a teacher. I said, don't put that on him. That ain't a good thing. If he is a teacher, it'll show. But then he's got to stay under his pastor because his pastor's got to keep him in the middle of the road. Teachers, get off. Evangelists, get off. Prophets, get off. Why do you think Brother Branham said that angel of the Lord had to come in and correct him? He was off. It only comes by the preaching of the word.
Yes.
Thank God you got a preacher. Oh, I love the inspiration. I love an inspired preacher. I'm not just somebody's going to come up and read to you. I want somebody that's turned on by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Somebody's got fire and brimstone and knows what it is.
Yes.
You say, well, I don't know about that. Oh, and I know I ain't talking about the style. I'm talking about a preacher.
Right.
A preacher preaches. It ain't about the style. Some of them read. Some of them quote. Some of them don't do any of it. Some of them do all of it. Some of them get so inspired we can't even read our scriptures. There's all kinds of teachers and preachers out there. But you know what? It takes all five in the body. That's why you have them come in. That's why you have them help you out. People want to say, well, they need this. They need that. No, no, no. We need the word. If you're a teacher and you're teaching out of the word of God and you got the word of God, then I'm good. You said, but you don't know about him. I don't need to know about him. I don't want his history. I don't want his background. I don't want his family references. I'm not doing like the Jews in the Old Testament, trying to make sure their father and their grandfather and their great-great-grandfathers were pure. I ain't worried about that. I'm looking for the word of God. I'm looking for somebody who can give me thus saith the Lord. That's what I'm after. I'm not trying to have cliques and join groups and trying to get buddies with them. I want the word of God. I'm seriously looking for somebody who can tell me what the word of God says. Take all the world and all his riches. I don't need the pain. Takes a revelation. God personally revealed to you individually. I'm not sitting here and saying everybody in this church is born again. You know it. You know it. I may not know it. You say, but you're the pastor. I only know what God lets me know. But when you open your mouth, it tells me a lot. Ah, you know, they say, keep your mouth closed. And let people think. Then opening your mouth and removing all doubt. When you talk, and you have to talk. You have to tell what's happening in you. Or nobody knows. And if you don't tell, then there may not be anything happening. I'd rather tell it and I'm off than not tell it and not have anything happening. Because if I'm off and you know it, you can help me. But if I don't know where you're at and you don't know where you're at and you're not telling me nothing, then I just assume that God's there and he's got you all wrapped up.
Amen.
Bless the third. Simon Barjona, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. He hadn't built it then. Alpha was still there. Alpha was standing there. Church wasn't built, but he was going to build his church by revelation. Amen. And nothing else. Amen. We put everything else on there. We put all the laws. We put all the rituals. We put all the traditions. We do all this stuff. But that wasn't what he said. He said, I'm building on the revelation. And if you can have the revelation of who I am, then you're in the church. Amen. It's been that way all the way through. Oh, people put their own doctrines on. They put their own ideas of what it is to be born again. You know what? People are born again and didn't, like Doc said, didn't even know it. I like what he said. Baby don't know he's a baby. Not to start with. He don't know what happened. He don't know how he got there. He don't know nothing about eating. Don't know nothing about going to the bathroom. Don't know nothing about nothing. It just everything just happens. He makes this noise and food shows up. He wets his diaper and somehow it gets dry. And he don't even know. He just know he feels uncomfortable. Whenever I'm uncomfortable, I'd make this noise and things change. So that's about the work. That's all he know. He don't know he's a baby. Never move, never talk. Don't know how to walk. Don't know nothing. But he know he feels something. He know he's real. He knows something happened to him. He knows that if I do these things, things happen. But as he got older, as he got more mature, as he started learning things. See, when you come to this message, when you get your new birth, you start learning from nothing. All you know is what God showed you. One thing. It may be one thing to you, maybe one thing to me, maybe something else to Jeremiah, maybe something else to Jay, but it's something. God don't deal with you and reveal himself to you unless you're born again. Right. When he gives you that first revelation, that is your new birth. Oh, people got all kind of ideas what the new birth is. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just know what you know. People might say you're not going to heaven. Don't worry about it. People get so upset because somebody say they're not going. Like it's their call. God said I can go. And you're going to tell me I can't. I'm going to listen to God. Right. Don't worry about it. The Bible says if a prophet prophesies and nothing happens to it, then don't even worry about him. Right. Don't worry about it. If he prophesies and it comes to pass, believe him. So see, the thing is, you got to know this for yourself. You can't sit in this church and say, well, I've got it, and don't know what it is. Come on. You may not be able to explain it, but you will be able to look at me and say, Nate, I know what it is. Yeah. Oh, yeah, tell me what it is. I don't know, but I know. What happened to you in that little room? I don't know. I just went in there. And I went in there ignorant, didn't know nothing. But when I came out with a revelation. Well, how did that happen? I don't know. What did you do to make it happen? I don't know. I didn't do anything. I just one moment I couldn't understand. Next minute I understood. See, anybody with a revelation knows exactly what I'm saying. One time I read this scripture and it didn't mean nothing. Next time I read it after 100 times, I looked at it like I never read it before in my life. That's when God gets in the mix. God shows you. He teaches you. As that baby grows, he's taught. He learns. He grows. He learns to talk. He learns to walk. He learns to stand up on his own feet. See, I don't have a bunch of babies around here. Y'all should be standing on your own feet now. There's enough word that's been preached here over the last 40, 50 years that, my goodness, if you're not walking down, I wonder something's wrong with you. You need to go to Dr. Jesus and get a checkup. If a baby never changes and grows up, you go check him out. If he's stunning in his growth, there's something wrong. Something's wrong with you. If you're in the same place today that you were last year, something's wrong with you. Or if you're worse, check. Let's do a little inventory. Check yourself by this. This time last year, did I love the word or did I not love it? Did it mean everything to me or did it not? Now come forward to this year. Where are you at now? Do you still love the Word? Or do you not? Does it mean still everything to you? I mean, this is self-reflection. Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. You got to check this yourself. You can't just come to me and say, hey, Nate, can you give me a checkup? Oh, you can do that, and I can give you a checkup. I'm a doctor. I can tell you, you know, check things out. You know, the doctor, they'll take you in there and sit you on the little table, that cold table. And they take and check your knee, check your reflexes. I never understood what they look in your ear for. I don't know, John and all, y'all could probably tell me, but they always go in your ear, but they don't ever find nothing. They go in your ear, they look in your eye, they do all this stuff to you, and you just sit there and just... But they know, AJ can tell us, he probably does it. But they do all this stuff to you, and you just go along with it. But see, I can do that. I can be your doctor. So I'll tell you, ask you, do you really love this thing? Oh, yes. Is it first place in your life? Oh, yeah. Have you recognized your day and this message? Oh, yes. Are you living your day and this message? Oh, yes. With every heartbeat? Oh, yes. Can you miss this thing? Nah, I couldn't miss this. It's my very life. You're fine. You're fine. But he's got to personally reveal himself to you. If he doesn't reveal it to you, you won't get it. It won't be by your studies. Now watch. Blessed art thou, Brother Branham said, Simon Bar-Jonah, which means son of Jonah. See? Blessed art thou, for flesh and blood never revealed it to you. You never learned it from some school. But my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed it to you. Notice what he told him. He said, upon this rock, that's Peter, the predestinated seed of God that had received this light and given the keys to the kingdom. Upon this rock of revelation of who Jesus Christ is, he is the full manifested God. Upon this rock, not a Father, Son, and a Holy Ghost, and him being the second person, upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall never shake it down, never prevail against it. See, I'll build my church upon that rock, the rock of revelation of Jesus Christ. How can you have your life built on that rock and lose it? Can't. We don't get it and lose it. See, a lot of people talk about backsliding, going in and out. You can backslide in your flesh. You can backslide in your spirit. But if you're ever born again, there is no going back. There is no going back. There's no picking up that old husband. He's not there. He's dead. He's not divorced. He's murdered. God killed him. He got rid of him. There is no going back to get him. Once you're born again, you're just born again. So when it happens to you, there is no going back. There is no, well, I'm going to just leave. There is no, leave what? How can you leave something that's a part of you? If you're the Word and he is the Word, you can't leave you. That's like me said, I'm going to get away from Nate. I can't get away from me. I might get away from you, but I can't get away from me. I'm one with myself. I'm one with God. I can't get away from him, and he can't get away from me. I and my Father are one. He said, I pray to the Father that they be one just like we are one. Amen. You and me, and I and them. It's God in us. That's who Alpha was. It was God himself down here. We don't realize that it was really, really God himself down here on the face of the earth, walking, talking as the Son of Man, the Word made flesh. The Word made flesh. Don't have to turn there, but John chapter 12, he planted those seeds. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. He didn't want to be alone. He had a whole body that he had to have. He wanted a bride body. It wasn't just about Jesus coming and paying a price and us sitting there and getting forgiven for sins and going to heaven. There's a bigger story than that. Matter of fact, going to heaven ain't what it's about. Didn't I read you New Jerusalem's coming down? It's coming to earth. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When God gets in you, then he and you become one. And that's God in skin. Jesus was the Son of Man on earth. Word of God. Son of Man is the Word of God veiled in human flesh. That's who Alpha was. Son of Man veiled in human flesh. We have a hard time with that. We don't think we're worthy. We don't think we're good enough. We look at our shortcomings. We look at our problems. We look at our ups and downs and our ins and outs. But if you got the Word of God living to you in the end time, brother, Jesus said that. He said you're going to desire for one of the days of the Son of Man. And according to Luke 17 and 30, that Alpha was going to come back as a Son of Man and Omega.
Yeah.
Amen.
It was going to be the Word of God veiled in human flesh. We have a hard time with that. We have a hard time at that with ourselves. I ain't talking about anybody else. I'm talking about with ourselves. We look at our problems. We look at our shortcomings. And we almost feel like, well, I'm not good enough. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm not this, not that. I'm failing here. I'm failing there. But you don't look at yourself. You look at the Word. And the Word says you're here as Omega at the end time. Son of Man. In skin, again,
right.
As he was in Alpha.
Again.
Again.
The same
one, same God, same Spirit, same anointing, same everything.
Everything.
If it was all in him, then it should be all in us.
Amen.
We have a hard time recognizing who we are. We went through seven ages of God winking at our ignorance. Winking at our ignorance. And he wasn't Son of Man during the ages. He was Son of God, an unseen force. He laid there for us for seven ages. But then, at the end of that seven age, then he comes back again as the Son of Man, Omega. But when you have, if Alpha was the full Word of God in skin, then Omega has to be the full Word of God in skin. It's got to be. The reformers, they were reformers. They reformed the Word. The Word had to go in. The Word had to come back up. Don't have time. But the reformers were not prophets.
No, that's right.
There was a prophet at the beginning, and there was a prophet at the end.
Right.
Paul said, don't bring any other gospel than what I've already brought you.
Right.
Why? He was a major prophet.
Yes.
He wasn't a reformer. He was a prophet. He was setting the church in order.
Amen.
And the church had to be brought back to order at the end of the seventh age.
That's right.
By a prophet, not by a reformer. So over in Matthew 13, don't go there, but that's where the sower went forth. That sower went forth and he put that seed out there. And the enemy, Satan, got in the mix. Satan got us religious, got us to go to church. So you think the devil's trying to get you out of church. He's just trying to get you out of the right church. He don't care that you go to church. He goes to church every day. He's the most religious one there is. He believes in God and trembles. He does better than some of us. He's very religious. He goes to church all the time. So he's not worried about you being in church. He don't want you in this church. He wants you to go somewhere where they'll compromise the Word. He wants you to go somewhere where they'll take down and they'll put you back under the Son of God ministry. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. No. Under the Son of Man, he knew all things. Whether it was Alpha or Omega. When you got Son of Man on the scene, he knows all things. He knows all that was, all that is, and that all is to come. You're not going to pull nothing on him. You're not going to trick him. No. See, those Pharisees, they tried to trick him all the time. They'll say, whose name's on this coin? Jesus knew it was a trick.
Yeah.
He said, rent under Caesar. What's his? Now, take that.
Yeah.
In other words, don't go break the law and just don't pay Caesar. You pay your taxes.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you,
Didn't see that one coming. But he also knew that they were trying to trick him just to make him look bad. They were looking for a reason to call him a false prophet. But every time they come up with something, he'd always make a way out because he was the Son of Man. Right. Who sinned, this man or his parents? Neither. This woman's caught in act of adultery. Go and sin no more. Let he without sin cast the first stone. See, Jesus, the Alpha, had an answer to every person he met. He had the word. And if that's the way we were in Alpha, what manner of men ought we to be in Omega?
Yes. Right.
We have the word.
Yep.
Yeah. We're the Son of Man again.
Yeah.
He's on the scene.
Amen.
There shouldn't be any man that you run across you have to be scared of.
That's right.
No. Amen. Nobody you have to back down to.
No.
I didn't see Jesus back down to one person.
No.
Because he knew who he was.
Yeah.
When Omega steps on the scene, Omega's going to be just as powerful as Alpha was.
Amen.
Omega's going to know who they are just like Alpha did.
Amen.
Omega's going to put everything in its place just like Alpha did.
That's right.
They're not going to corner Omega at all.
Yeah.
He'll have an answer for every question they have.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the kind of people we are. When that sower went forth, he sowed a seed. But then at come a time, he said, I will restore according to Job. And he did restore. He restored everything back so much so that the Son of Man showed up.
Yeah.
Right. Son of Man was fullness of the word.
Right.
Standing on the earth again. Do you get it?
Amen.
Son of Man with the full word.
Yeah.
Standing on the earth again.
Amen.
Not floating.
Yeah.
Not above us.
Come on.
The Son of Man is the Word in humans.
Yeah.
The Word of God in human skin.
Right.
It was God above us. Then it was God with us.
Right.
It was God with us as the Son of God ages.
Yeah, right.
It was God with us through the ages. It was God with us being a mediator between God and man.
Yeah.
But at the end of the ages, it become God in us.
Yes.
Son of Man again, Luke 17:30, on the scene right now, today, and we are just as powerful as Alpha.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
We sell ourselves short thinking that we don't have nothing, like we don't know who we are. We know exactly who we are. We're just as powerful as Alpha was. Like he had a job to do, we have a job to do. What he had to do because he was Alpha. What we have to do because we're Omega. Fullness of the word is on the scene. Why are you sitting around acting like you don't know who you are? Why are you sitting around acting like you lost your job and lost your friend? Why are you sitting around depressed? Why are you sitting around feeling like there's no hope? How can you not have hope when you are the hope?
Amen. You're right about it.
God built his masterpiece and he put it right in front of the world's face. And just like they didn't recognize Alpha, they don't recognize Omega.
No, they don't.
We are Omega.
Yeah.
People think Omega is Jesus when he comes a second time in the clouds. No, Omega came in 63.
He did.
He's been here for a long time. He's been in his bride a long time. Oh, we were a baby for a while and didn't know who we were. But you know what? We haven't been a baby for a long time. And that's why when people still run around here playing these church games, I just don't understand. There's so much real. Why worry about all this phony stuff? He said, she said, he goes here, and he goes here, and this and don't like this one, and this and don't like this one, and don't fellowship with this, and don't fellowship with that. Omega's here. God is here. Son of Man is here. God answered every one of them.
Amen.
The Word made flesh is here. In his many-membered body. See, even God, when the church is going on, God's talking from here, God's talking from there, God's talking from there, God's all over this place. You think I'm just the one just studying the word? And I'm no, God's in this place. See, that's why when I hear the word, I go to the word. When I hear God's in this place, I say, God's in this place. Because he is. I know he is. I know he's here. He said, where two and three are gathered, the Son of Man, Omega, is on the scene today.
Amen.
Right.
And we should be just as powerful as Alpha was. We look at Jesus and say, oh man, he had it made. Jesus didn't even have it as made as you do. There were things that Jesus didn't know that you know. There were things that Jesus did that you do greater. Because Omega has everything.
Amen.
They asked Jesus, when are you going to return? Jesus said, I don't know. Ask Omega.
Yeah.
Ask me.
Yeah.
I can tell you exactly when he comes back.
Yeah.
I can tell you. Look at the clock.
Yeah.
2 o'clock on the dot.
Yeah. Come on.
Second pool is ended. Third pool. People are struggling in this message trying to figure out when he came back.
Yeah.
I ain't struggling.
No.
Omega's not struggling.
No.
I know when he come back.
Yeah.
I know what he coming. I know what he brought with him.
Right. Amen.
Omega's strong.
Oh, yes.
She's no pushover.
No.
Oh, she'll give you a moment. She'll give you a room to repent.
Yeah. Right.
She'll give you time. But Omega's no pushover.
No.
She knows who she is.
Right.
She knows why she's here. This is the final voice.
Yes, sir.
To the final age. Omega is the final voice to the final age.
Right.
There will be no other voice outside of the bride.
Amen.
We're on the scene now.
Right. Yes.
So important that the book of Revelation was open.
Amen.
So important.
Yes.
Because we wouldn't even have known who we were until the book of Revelation was open.
Right.
And when the book got the seals ripped off, it let us know exactly who everything was.
That's right.
It placed everything. It placed the church ages. It placed the Jews. It placed the 144,000. It placed the Gentile bride. It placed the foolish virgin. It placed the church world. It placed the world order. It placed the cosmos. It placed everything.
Amen.
And now here this bride is, Omega, standing on her feet, knows what it is. We're not guessing this morning. I'm not trying to get preachers here to find out what it is. I know what it is. I don't need your help to find out what this is. I know what this is. You're not here to help me that way. Oh, your words can help me. Preaching is all I want. But you know what? If you think you're going to come to give me salvation, it's too late. If you think you're going to save my soul, it's too late. If you think you're going to give me something that's going to get the bride ready for the rapture, it's too late. If you think you're going to give me something to get me on my feet, it's too late. The bride is on her feet. She knows what it is. She knows what to do with the word. Omega's here now. And Omega is just as powerful and just as strong as Alpha was. Because they're the same. It's the same God. The same God that was in Jesus is the same God that's here today in you. This bride is a strong bride now, because now we know who we are. We're not a baby. We know what it is. That's why people look at us and they marvel. Oh, this is such a good congregation. It's not a good congregation because we're good, because we're not. Some of us are bad. But we know the word. We have the word. We love the word. And as long as you love the word, you're welcome here.
Yes.
As long as you hear the word, you're welcome here.
Amen.
As long as you eat the word, you're welcome here.
Amen.
What am I supposed to do? Kick everybody out who has a problem? Well, he was out sin. Cast the first stone. Y'all are clean this place out.
Right.
And and here's what I would do.
Amen.
So when they try to give me this holiness and all this stuff that they try to do in and out of this message, trying to make themselves worthy to think that they're so good, none of us are good. None of us are right. Only thing that's right is the Son of Man in us, the Word made flesh. That's it. We don't have nothing in common. We don't even like each other. If it wasn't for the word of God, I wouldn't even bother darkening the door. But because I know the words here,
yeah,
and because I am Omega,
yeah,
because I am the Son of Man, the Son of Man needs the word.
Amen.
That's what makes him who he is.
Amen.
I will come to the house of God without controversy.
Yeah.
1 Timothy 3:16, another one of my favorites. Without controversy, great is a mystery of godliness. Great. People don't know the mystery of godliness. They don't understand this mystery. They don't understand Alpha. They don't understand Omega. They don't understand he wasn't in between. They don't understand how any of that worked. But this is a great mystery. And this mystery was hid all the way up until the opening of the seals. And when the seals was opened, it was all loose. And now we're not sitting here guessing. If you're guessing today, you don't have a Holy Ghost. It's just that simple. If you don't know what it is today, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Because in order for you to be Omega, you got to know what it is. My sheep will hear my voice. When somebody preaches, you may not be able to explain it, but you will know it. You know it. You know how it rings. Come on. You know, you can hear somebody that says something that sounds like that is nothing but the truth. And then you also know when somebody gets up and says something that's got a little twist on it, and you're like, well, I'll just spit that one out. Because we want the word. I don't want your creeds. You come here trying to give me your creeds, I'll spit it back out. That is not going home with me. Because I know who I am. I'm Omega. I'm the Word made flesh. I'm God in skin. And do you realize you're talking to God in skin? When I preach, I'm preaching to God in skin. The ones out there are saying amen, that's God in skin. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on into the world, and received up into glory. All of that was still God. All that was Alpha. That was Alpha. But what about Omega? When does Omega come on the scene? When is it going to be time for Omega? And who is Omega? Where is Omega? Somebody's got to have the same authority, same power, same word as Alpha. Somebody's got to have that. Somebody's got to be able to stand up and put the devil in his place. Somebody's got to be able to call everything where it's supposed to be. Somebody's got to be able to call things that are to be into existence. Somebody's got to do it. The Spirit and the Bride say come. The final voice to the final ages in Omega.
Amen.
And that is us. Over there in Revelations 10, won't read it, we know it by heart. That angel come down here with a little book open. You know why the book was open? So the Omega can look in on it. What did John do? John's the type of the bride. When John saw that look, that book open, you know what John did? He looked. And what did he see? See, people don't even realize how important this is. John saw his name. John saw it was about him. Do you realize when this Omega bride saw this book come down and it was open, who do you think we saw? You weren't looking at John. You weren't looking at Paul. You weren't looking at all those other people in the Bible. You looked in there and saw your name. I looked and I saw I'm the children who had my heart turned back. Somebody else looked at Luke 17 and said, there's the Son of Man. That's me. Somebody else looked over in Thessalonians and said, that shout, voice, and trumpet, that's me. Somebody looked over at Revelations 10 and said, hey, take the book and eat it. That's me. See, what you were finding out was who you were, not who everybody else is. That's why Jesus said, who do they say that I am? Oh, when you get a new birth, you'll know who you are. When you get a new birth, you'll stop worrying. You'll stop trying to figure it out and say, well, I don't know if I'm one of them or not. You'll say that till you get born again. Once you get born again, you say, I may not be a good one, but I'm one. And as you walk and get stronger and stronger, that Omega start kicking in, and you start putting things in their place, and you start binding, and you start loosening, and you start giving eternal life, and you start giving people chances, and you start opening doors, and you're understanding every man you meet, and your discernment's kicking in, and you discern people's heart. The Word is a discerner, not you. We don't even realize y'all are discerners. You can't help but to be a discerner. When you're walking around this world full of the Word, and you know who they are, you recognize, Don said, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Who's going to do that, Omega?
Yes,
who's going to bind and loose, Omega?
Yes.
Who's going to let people in because they gave them water, Omega?
Yes.
Amen.
We almost don't realize how much power we have. We're walking around here saying, oh, if I was Jesus. You are Jesus. You don't need any more power than what you already have.
Amen.
You don't need any more authority than what he's already given us. He's already given us the kingdom. He's already said it was ours. He's already told you to bind and loose. He's let off, and nobody knew that really it was ours until the opening of the seals. But now that the seals are open, why are we still acting like we're stepchildren? Why are we still acting like it doesn't belong to us? Why are we still acting like we're blind, trying to figure this thing out? No, we're not walking room. I take the room over. I place everybody. I go to work and take it over. You're going. You're going. You're good to me. This one's going. I go to the store. You're going. I walk around like Jesus did. Remember Alpha, when he walked around, just giving life. Just giving life. Giving life. So you don't have to give death. Death will come to all those who don't have life. Automatically. And Jesus was walking around giving life as Alpha to everybody he ran to. You can go. You can go. You can go. And then we get up here and act like, God, if it be thy will. That's denominational thinking. Be thy will. My will is his will. What I want, he wants. What he wants, I want. What I bind, he binds. What I loose, he loose. That's us. I and my Father are one. We are one and the same. Alpha and Omega are one and the same. I'm trying to let you know who you are, church. So you realize when you're going through life, it's just not you. You are fulfilling Omega. You are just as powerful as Alpha was. Nothing stopped him, and nothing will stop you. You let trouble come your way. You know what? Trouble come my way, and I overcome it. Problems come my way, I overcome it. Sickness come my way, I overcome it. Disappointments come my way, I overcome it.
Amen.
Overcome everything. Why? I'm Omega.
Yeah.
I'm the Word of God made flesh.
Right.
You can't get the Word down. I down and depressed. There should be nobody in this church depressed.
Amen.
If you're depressed, you need to recognize who you are.
Yeah.
Recognize you're Omega and send Satan to flight because he doesn't have no rights to depress the bride of Jesus Christ. Oh, if you're down and out, there's no reason you'll be down and out. You know who you are. Stand up and be counted for. Let the devil know that you're Omega bride and you're taking this thing over. Start acting like who we are. Start claiming what's yours. Put your foot down. Let the devil know I ain't moving off of this word. I'll stand on the word of God. Let heaven and earth crumble. I'm going to be right on the word. Let your critics howl. Let them talk about you. Oh, they'll talk about me if I'm letting this one in. They'll talk about me from going here. Oh, they'll talk about me for going there. Oh, they'll talk about me for letting y'all do this or wear that or don't wear this or don't wear that or cut this or don't cut that. Oh, they're going to talk about you. But I ain't worried about what people think. I'm Omega. I'm the Word of God made flesh, and God is happy with me. I'm doing exactly what I'm ordained to do. And no man can stop me. No devil in or out of hell can stop me. No sickness, no problem can stop me. No shortcoming. I can't even stop myself.
Amen.
The book is open now. We see the whole thing. What made us Omega was that the book opened up to us. Now we're walking around here with all the answers. All the answers. All the answers. No matter what comes up, we have answers. They're struggling out there in the church world, trying to answer the answer abortion, trying to struggle and answer a question on the blacks and the whites, and trying to struggle and answer the questions on the politics and how much the church should get with the world and the church should get with the church and the politics. And they're struggling with all that. We don't have that struggle here. Amen. You know why don't we don't have that struggle here? Because we're Omega. Yeah. We put everything where it belongs. I ain't going to let none of this world order cause me to lose my salvation. I ain't going to let nothing happening on this world cause me to lose my hope and my direction. I am heaven bound. I am ordained to be the last final voice to the final age, and they will hear from me.
Amen.
I'm sorry. That's who I. That's just who I am. If you're Omega, you got to do it.
Oh, my goodness.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. John chapter 14, verse 12. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now listen to what Brother Branham said. I want to read this because this tickles me. This shows you the difference between Alpha and Omega. And there is a light of the hour today. That's Jesus Christ. In the power of his resurrection, his words that's promised for this day, the works that I do shall you greater works than these shall he do, for I go to the Father. Greater works, greater things than he did? Do you believe it? Well, his congregation said amen. All right, do you believe it? Okay, I was like, yeah, okay. Maybe you don't, I don't know. Okay. His congregation said amen. Believe it. It seems humble. It seems like it's gone over top of people's heads. Look when he was here on earth, how can you do greater works? I've translated that many times. More, but the same thing. Greater, he said in St. John 14:12. Greater works shall you do. Did you notice? Now, this is what I want you to listen close to, because this is going to tell you Omega's role. Did you notice when he went to make water into wine, he took water first, an already created substance, and turned it into wine. When he fed the 5,000 people, he took two fishes that once swam in the water, broke it, handed it out, and multiplied creation. He took bread that was once wheat, baked into bread, broke it, and hung it out and handed it out to the people. And it returned back again. Multiplied creation. But in the last days, where there in the beginning he created, there was no sign of creation. He speaks into creation. Anyhow, showing to be the same God that he was in the beginning. He created squirrels. He created whatever he wants to, because he's God. Greater things than this will he do, for I go to the Father. The word is infallible, and it has to be manifested and has to be fulfilled. Greater than this shall you do, not multiplying, but speaking out into creation. We're not taking something that's already here. The same sun that rises in the east is the same sun that sets in the west. The prophet said, there will be a day that couldn't be called day nor night. It's a dull, the clouds are over the face of the sun. But said about evening time, it shall come light again. The same sun, he is Alpha and Omega. Amen. Same sun that rose in the east was predicted to rise to the west again in the last days, just before the day was over. I don't know how to interpret it. God interprets his own word. He proves it. This is the evening time. There's a couple of things Brother Branham's saying there. Number one, if you don't know the story of the squirrels, Brother Branham was out hunting, and the angel of the Lord met him out in the woods. He's having a bad hunt day, couldn't get nothing. And the angel told him, said, speak the word and speak to where you want the squirrel. And Brother Branham looked at him and said, over on that limb, there came a squirrel on that limb. He shot it, killed it. Someone went over here, shot it, killed it. Someone went over here, shot it, killed it. What he was saying here is when Jesus was here the first time, he took something that was already here and multiplied it. In the Omega Age, we will take something that doesn't exist and speak it into existence. That's what we're doing. That's what Omega's job is. That's why we're doing what we do. That's why we're claiming why we... How in the world can you claim somebody? Speak it into existence. You're going with me. You're going with me. You don't have nothing, but you created something. How are the dead going to get up? He's not taking something that's already here. Omega's not using something that's already here. We're calling something into existence that doesn't exist. The dead will get up because Omega's calling for it. We're not going to be taking bread and calling the dead up. We're taking something out of nothing, out of thin air, and saying, dead, get up. That's the job of Omega. We're doing things and we're having the hardest time realizing and starting to do what it's just in us to do. The authority has already been given. God has already placed it in our hand. God is not going to get the dead up from up there in the glory. He's going to do it on the earth in Omega. That's why Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. If Alpha was a resurrection, what is Omega? Yeah. And we're going to call things as they are when they don't even exist. Right, we're going to say people can go that shouldn't go. We're going to allow things that shouldn't be allowed. We're going to break the law.
Yeah, man. Right.
Pick corn on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Because we need it.
Yeah.
Right. Jesus told him, go get that donkey.
Yeah.
Had a job to do because he needed it.
Yeah.
We're putting things now as Omega. Alpha and Omega are the same.
Yeah.
We just have a different job to do, but we got the same authority. St. John 14, at that day, Brother Brown said, what day? This day.
Amen.
At Omega's day.
Right.
At that day, ye shall know that I'm in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Let God change your life.
Yes.
Amen.
Let your life be an example. See, when people talk about good living, your life should be an example.
Yes. Right.
To draw people to Christ. Because when they see you, they should see him.
Yeah.
They should see God in you.
Right.
If all they see is a messed up person, always got problems, shortcomings, can't get ends can't meet, nothing's going right, everything's going wrong, everything's down and out, and God's done it. Don't even look like God's behind you. That ain't going to be no example to the world. But what they need to see, and I'm not talking about some Christian holier-than-thou looking person. I'm talking about somebody who creates an atmosphere around them. Do you know we speak that atmosphere? We create that atmosphere around us. We put the people in place. We tell the people where they're going. We tell the people the atmosphere we're going to have around them. Somebody come in my office, they come in here cussing on, like, you're either going to stop that or get out. You're going to talk right or you're not talking to me. And I don't talk to you that way, so you're going to talk to me that way. See, create the atmosphere. So that's like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, and you are Alpha and Omega together, one and the same. You are creating the atmosphere around you. Jesus did.
Right.
And so should you.
Right.
We should be speaking things now.
Yes.
Speaking them into existence.
Amen.
Speaking healing into existence.
Yes.
Oh, we're still breathing. We're still believing for Trevor.
Yes.
God can still get hold of him before the doctor get hold of him.
Yes. Right.
It ain't beyond it. The bride is calling for that.
Yes. Yes.
You say, oh, well, you shouldn't speak it if it doesn't happen. Shut up, Satan. I ain't going to speak nothing else. Why am I going to speak unbelief? I want God to move. I want God to move on Donna. I want God to move on the church. I want God to move on our people. I was laying in bed this morning picking some of y'all. I was just praying for you. I know you. And I know your things that you're dealing with. I just laying there. I woke about 6 o'clock. Clarice got up a little bit later. But I just laid there till 8. I didn't get up. I just laying there talking to God, talking about y'all, dealing with people, talking about the brother George in Africa, Talking about Brother Victor in the Philippines.
Yes.
Talking about Brother June over there in the Philippines.
Hallelujah.
Talking about Brother Tony in Africa.
Yes.
The Earlys down in Florida.
Yes.
Different people. Just land. Why? That's who we are.
Right. Yeah.
If we don't call for it, who is?
Yes.
Right.
Either we're the final voice or we're not.
Right.
And if we're the final voice, then we should be exactly like Alpha was.
Yes.
Taking what belongs to us, claiming what belongs to us.
Yes.
I ain't give up on Alex.
No.
He's probably listening. Alex, I'm calling to you. Get to the house of God where you belong. I ain't give up on him. And I'll speak that word now. Keep it right there because I know who I am. And the word that I speak is stronger than any spirit that holds anybody out. Stronger than any unbelief. Stronger than any sickness. Stronger than anything else. Because we know who we are.
Right.
We're not a weak little bride. We call these things into existence. Yeah. Things that are not as though they are.
Amen.
That's who we are. That's Omega. At that day we shall know. Brother Branham said here in the masterpiece, he said, all true life that was in the stalk, the tassel, and husk is now gathered into seed. Ready for the resurrection. Ready for the harvest. The Alpha has become Omega. Amen. The first come last. And the last is the first. The seed that went in has come through a process and become seed again.
Amen.
Here we are, church.
Right.
Here we are, church. Don't ask for nothing else. Don't look for nothing else.
Amen.
This is Omega. This is grain age.
Amen.
This is harvest time.
Yeah.
Belinda's right. The fruit that she sees in her garden,
right.
That's us.
That's us.
That's us. It's not going to get any riper.
Right.
Not going to get any better.
Right.
Matter of fact, I tell Clarice, I said, Clarice, you better get those okra off those vines. You know, they sit there too long, you can't eat it.
Yeah.
You leave those cucumbers out there too long, it gets too ripe.
Yes.
You leave the bride on the vine too long.
Yeah.
God's got to get us home.
Right.
It's harvest time, people.
Right.
This is time for us to get out of here. And we need to start speaking like Omega that we are.
Right.
Not taking down to anything, no lie the devil has. Don't take down the sickness. Don't take down the depression. Don't take down to anything. You keep your sound mind. You keep yourself focused and know that who you are.
Yeah.
I don't care what it looks like. It's not about what it looks like. It's what it is.
Yeah.
It's not about what it feels like, it's what it is. It's what the word says it is.
Right.
And that's who Omega is.
Amen.
That's who we are, church. That's the hour that we're living in. We're calling things that doesn't even exist into existence.
Amen.
You are.
Amen.
You are.
Amen.
It's your job. It's your place.
Right.
We're not doing restoration now, and that's done. The mouth, feet, the eyes are done.
Right.
The last thing the body gets is intelligence.
Yes.
And we've got that. That's done.
Right.
Now she's on her feet. She knows what to do with the word.
Ah.
Now the rapture can come.
Amen.
We know what it is.
Amen.
We're Omega. We're the bride. We're just like our husband.
Yes.
Everything he did, we can do.
Yes.
Greater works
Amen.
Are happening because of who we are.
Amen.
Greater works, church.
Amen.
Don't let the devil buffalo you around. Don't let him push you around.
Amen.
Don't let him knock you around.
Right.
Let him know who you are.
Right.
Take a stand for the word of God.
Yes.
Take a stand for who you are. Take a stand being the Omega bride, knowing the authority that's already given us.
Amen.
It's not going to be given. It's already given us.
Amen.
It's ours. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. So thankful for your word. For thankful for the authority that lies in this Omega bride, knowing who she is. Knowing she's the word made flesh again. And that God, you've come down to earth with a little book open. And you let us see for ourselves who we are. Now that we know who we are, we're on our feet. We're pleased to let you dwell in us. And you're pleased to dwell in us. This is what you've wanted all along. You wanted a bride that was going to be just like you. And here we are, Lord. The hour that we're living in, here we are. Perfectly, perfectly formed. Perfect bride. Exactly the way you wanted it. Thank you for Alpha. Thank you for Omega. Thank you for the authority that you've given to this bride, that we can call those things which are not, that we don't even see. We call them into existence. Call for the families to come back. Yes. Call for the children to come back. Yes. Call for the word to come real to us in such a way that we can use the authority that you've been given us. Thank you for everything, Father. Bless this congregation, Lord. Help us, Lord, to press like never before. Take the authority that we have in our hands, that we can, Lord, manifest everything that you said we were going to do in this hour. And we will. We will, because you've already seen us do it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians.
Amen. Amen. So be it.
We have the authority. Brother Branham said we don't have the power, but we have the authority. He said that little policeman out there on the street, that badge horn, he said that car coming down that road with all those horsepowers, all that little policeman's got to do is hold up his hand. He couldn't stop that car if he wanted to. You look at some of your situations, you couldn't stop those situations. Those problems you have, you can't stop those problems, but you can hold up your hand. You got all the authority of heaven behind you. And when you hold your hand up, that car has to screech. That spirit has to screech. That problem has to screech to a halt. Because all the authority of heaven is riding behind your little badge. God bless you, church. It's a special hour. And we're a special group of people for this hour. Come back tonight for Bible study. And come expecting. I do. I come looking to see what God has for us. Amen. We got the power. Clarice is playing that, so let's sing that. We do have the power. Amen.